Welcome to you to this, our worship on the first Sunday of Lent. There will be a number of different things happening through Lent, Holy Week, taking us to Easter. Do check out the church website, aksm.org.uk/Lent, for details of the Tuesday afternoon Bible studies, which will resume not this coming Tuesday, but the one after. Details are on the web. We gather together, although we are apart. We come together, friends and strangers, united in spirit. We come to worship our Almighty God. And we begin with the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Father God, we thank you that you have promised that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. We know that we can trust your promises because you are faithful and will not let us down. You are the creator of the universe. You maintain the earth and the whole of creation, and yet you love us as a parent, looking out for us when we go astray and rejoicing when we come back to you. You want us to leave all our anxieties with you because you care for us. Help us to see the truth of your constancy through our fears, our tears, our willfulness, or our lack of faith. Father, you know that we fail you so often, and yet you take the little that we offer and turn it into opportunities to show your grace. Forgive us when we can think only of ourselves and of our own problems, when we lose perspective and can think of no way out of our sorrows. Remind us that with you there is always a way, always a safe place for us. Forgive us when we lose sight of your goodness and of the beauty that you have provided. Make us more caring of the world around us and more compassionate to those we share it with, whether down the road or across oceans. Give us a longing to want to see the world living out the values of your kingdom, and give us the strength and wisdom to see that in our own lives. Father God, you have promised never to leave us. Through your Holy Spirit, you are there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to empower and energize us. Help us to open our hearts to your Spirit and trust in your love when we feel afraid to follow you or embarrassed to tell others of your love. Help us so to experience your presence that we will long to pass on the good news of your love to others. Help us in this season of Lent to recommit ourselves to following in the way of Christ, wherever that may lead and whatever it may cost us. Amen.
When the rain is pouring, when the winds are blowing, and it feels like it's always gonna be this way.
Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants, after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Amen.
The passage this morning is entitled The Baptism and Temptation of Jesus, taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. Not long afterwards, Jesus came from Nazareth in the province of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you." At once the Spirit made him go into the desert, where he stayed 40 days, being tempted by Satan. Wild animals were also there, but angels came and helped him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news." Amen.
Good morning. Most people have some idea about the story of Noah and the ark. It's such a lovely children's story, with the animals going in two by two, living in harmony in the ark, not eating each other, and then emerging into a fresh green world and living happily ever after under a beautiful rainbow. The story is much more than that, deeper and darker and yet incredibly hopeful. Noah means rest and comfort. Now that's interesting. It's what God does through Noah. God's promise rests with people. God makes a promise, a covenant, to rest with people. People will find comfort and love and relationship in God because God first loved people. God had planned for a loving relationship with people. People and God were to work together for the benefit of all creation. But into an innocent world of Eden had come sin. Adam and Eve had both chosen to ignore God. And after that, Cain allowed jealousy to cause him to murder his brother. And the 2-3 times grandson of Cain, Lamech, chose to murder and be a polygamist. People had turned away from trusting God and trusted instead their own instincts and interests. Humanity knew best for themselves, they decided, and for all creation, and there was a refusal to look beyond themselves and to include thinking of how other people and wider creation fitted into God's whole plan. These are not choices that show love of humanity or for creation or respect for their Creator. The close, loving bond between God and creation was broken because people had chosen to turn away. Imagine being in the most loving personal relationship, friend, or maybe a business colleague, a close relationship you thought was based on love and respect, where one party holds to that relationship and the other constantly broke away, despite your best efforts to hold things together. The injured party could choose to walk away, but in the spirit of the relationship, in faith and in love, held on until eventually something gave. This was the relationship. This was the situation that happened now. God got angry, really angry. The literal translation of this kind of extreme anger is, believe it or not, to have a hot nose. It brings to mind that cartoon image of a raging bull with heat and steam coming out of its nostrils. God may be slow to anger, but eventually enough. And that's what had happened. Against this background, God found one good person, Lamech's son, Noah. The only one God felt could be entrusted with the future. God asked Noah to build an ark, and despite the ridicule and contempt of his community, Noah entrusted God to guide him. The ark was built. Reverse creation happened, with the waters covering the land and life being wiped out. But eventually the rain stopped, the waters and the land separated again, plants grew, and Noah, his family and the animals emerged from the ark to repopulate the land. Geological evidence suggests that at some time in the distant past there was a land bridge across the Strait of Gibraltar, and that it broke. The waters of the Atlantic flooded into the Mediterranean basin and across the whole region. Now, whether or not we believe this account to be literally true, it is an account, whether it's the geological one or the biblical one, of a new start. A new start to the relationship between God, creation and humanity. Genesis, this passage that we're reading, shows this very clearly. To Noah and his family, they were representatives of future generations. To them, God renewed the promise that there would never again be any kind of destruction on this scale. The world would be a place where God would choose to be committed to loving, to continue to work through whatever happened in order to restore that broken relationship. What struck me here is that people don't have to agree. You and I have free will to accept that God has our best interests at heart or not. We can choose to accept this love or not. And the Bible continues to record the development of this special promise, this covenant, this love. In the biblical tradition of marriage, it was when two families came together, the two individuals would be relied on to build a loving relationship, mutually beneficial, which strengthened and supported each other and consolidated the bonds of community and of wider society. God built a relationship like this through the promise to bless Abraham and through him all nations. Through the covenant made in the desert, after God rescued Abraham's descendants from slavery, people were given the Ten Commandments to help them to know right from wrong. It was through the establishment of David as king to ensure the royal lineage of Jesus, with the expectation that David's descendants would keep faith with God and would be leaders to Israel and indeed to all nations. And it was through the covenant made with Jesus, a new covenant. Jesus lived, loving and trusting God, teaching, preaching, healing and saving and showing love and care for others. Jesus was and is a blessing to one and all, no matter who they are. The New Testament records Jesus loving all humanity enough to send the Holy Spirit to enable and empower his followers. These are people who are faithful to God, who choose God's ways over anything else. Jesus chose to go into the desert wilderness to spend time there with God. You and I can choose wisely too. Relying on God's Spirit within us, we can listen to the Spirit's nudgings and whispers, occasionally shouts, and be guided in all we do by the love of God, or we can choose our own path. Today we think about choice, about love, about relationships, about covenants. Christians who follow Jesus as he guides and directs us in God's ways are people of all nations, people of the new covenant who have within them the strength to choose freedom from the restrictive pull of sin and to live with the blessings of God. You and I might sometimes choose to turn away, but if in our hearts we yearn to do what God would have us do, God will be faithful to us, always, and give us hope for the future of all creation, because we are people, people of the new covenant. Amen.
Sun, then will the Holy
Let us pray. Lord God, you are God of flood and of rainbow, of barren desert and flowing rivers. You are the God of wild beasts and angels. And we struggle, as your people always have, to make sense of where you are and why you let things be this way. When trouble comes to those who least deserve it, when flood and famine, pestilence, flames wipe out our efforts and our hopes of happiness, when prayers rise up seemingly unanswered and no help comes, we struggle, Lord. Is it a punishment for our sins or a testing of our faith? Is it a lesson to be learned or just part of the way things are? Are you helpless as we are to prevent it? Lord God, help us to switch off for now all these questions and to focus on the rainbow, your sign of hope, a symbol of your presence and promise. Help us to focus on Jesus wrestling with the same questions and demons as ours and defeating them, because love is always stronger. We pray, Lord, for those going through hard times, for victims of natural disasters, for those with mental conflict. We pray that you are with them and they may know that you are with them, not punishing them, but suffering alongside them, knowing that this is not right, waiting and watching and hoping and staying with them, no matter what. We pray for all who look at a rainbow and find hope and promise. We pray for all the people of the church who struggle with doubts and think that's wrong. We pray for those in the community who have faith and yet cannot speak it. We pray for our leaders as they struggle with difficult decisions. We pray for those in hospitals, suffering and wondering what the future holds. We pray for those who support them, all the medical staff. We pray for those who support and help us in our daily lives. The bin men, the teachers, the police, the shopkeepers who keep things going, who are essential to our way of life. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we don't think of them, when we think only of ourselves. Help us always to think outside ourselves, to think of the interests of others and of our wider community. Cheer our hearts. Lord, revive our souls. Encourage us to go on working with you. May we go on working for the coming of your kingdom with unity and with joy. Amen.
And with our prayers, we bring our offerings, our abilities, our talents, all that we have, all that we are. We dedicate ourselves again to Christ's service. And we bring all our praying together as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we're going to listen to, or you might want to sing along to, the great hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. A hymn written by Joseph Scriven, who himself had known much loss and tragedy in life, and yet he committed his life to helping and serving others. This, his most famous hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, he wrote for his mother while she was going through a particularly distressing time. It has become a hymn to bring much comfort and hope to many. What a friend we have in Jesus. Our worship reaches its end, and may you all know of God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you and with all those you love and those you should love, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.